Good afternoon, everyone, or in Spanish, buenas tardes. I know probably 80 words in Spanish. One of them is buenas tardes, the other 79 are just swear words, so I'm not going to try to repeat them here. I'm Mohamed Amin Belarbi. I'm a Moroccan student currently living in the United Arab Emirates, and I like to call myself a serial entrepreneur. Now, from my talk, what I'll try to do is I'll try to walk you through the businesses or the startups I launched, what was the motivation behind each one of them, so that you can realize by the end of my talk that each and every one of you is an entrepreneur. That it's all up to us to unleash that entrepreneur within. You don't have to be Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs to be an entrepreneur. You don't need to know how to code or how to build websites to be an entrepreneur. As Andre mentioned, entrepreneurship is a lifestyle, it's an attitude. And that's what I realized early on in life. Now, I lived in Morocco for 17 years. I wasn't cute when I was a kid, so I couldn't sell flowers to neighbors. So I was stuck. I was stuck in that like old traditional mentality that's very pervasive in the Arab world. Your family wants you to go to class, be good at maths, physics, chemistry, try to get a degree, become an engineer, get a job, and live a happy life. You know, get a car, a family, a nice house. But I felt all the time that that wasn't for me. I just felt trapped. So at the age of 17, I had the opportunity to leave Morocco and to go to Norway. I was studying international baccalaureate at the United World College. And imagine that was my first time going out of Morocco with pretty much like nothing done in life. And here I am studying with 200 students from 19 nationalities. Most of them have either written books, have been on TV, have their own businesses. And I show up with what? Nothing. I felt truly inferior. I felt that I had nothing to show for, no legacy. And most cases, that would have been, I would have gone into depression. But the people there actually motivated me. They said, listen, let us act as motivators for you. You don't look at others who have accomplished so much and you say, oh, they managed to do all of this. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. And you just like give up. The thing when you meet amazing people who are true leaders, and again, leaders lead by example, they actually helped me kickstart my own entrepreneurial journey. So what I did during those days is my exposure to the world was through conferences. And this really hard process to go on the internet looking for conferences around to apply for or contests or internships. And I was lazy. So the first thing I did was creating a Facebook group. A Facebook group I called Opportunities for Students so that others could join the group and post about what they find online. That was my way kind of skipping the whole hard work. Now today, that group, we have 49,300 members online. Most of them international students with postings every day, 10 to 20 postings about internships around the world, scholarships, conferences, and most of the places I went to were thanks to that group. And a lot of people around the world, thousands, that I meet sometimes randomly in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in the US, I tell them, oh, by the way, you should join this group, Opportunities for Students, and they say, oh, I'm already in there. And these are people I never met. So that like little laziness at the beginning, and again, you should always find a way to twist things, always look at the positive side of things. Some people will see laziness as negative. For me, laziness was a catalyst, was a way kind of to get things accomplished. So that was the first little thing I started. And it was during the Arab Spring when I was in Norway. And if you follow the Arab Spring, a lot of young people were protesting in the streets. People were giving up their life, being shot by police, being beaten by police. And I knew at that time, with my friend who's from Lebanon, that these young people who are protesting, who are taking down regimes, who are leading change, will not be in the parliament. They will not become ministers. Hell, they're not going to become a president. So they were sacrificing their lives, demanding change, yet not benefiting from it, because the same figures come back again to haunt us. So I got together with my friend and I said, let's do something about this. And the easiest way we found is, how about we channel that frustration, that anger, that demand for change into something productive, useful. Young people demand change all the time, but they don't know how they want to bring about that change. So we said, let's put these ideas into policy proposals, into actual action plans that young people can present to their policy advisors or makers, that they can present to the government, to the UN, to the Arab League. And we started the Arab Institute for Youth Policymaking. I was 18 at that time. The Arab Institute grew to become a across the Arab world organization with 6 chapters around the Arab world. And we managed to get the attention of some key figures in major institutions. We had a favorable response, for example, when we wrote a paper on Egypt during the revolution from the Egyptian prime minister. So we channeled anger and frustration from something that's negative to something positive. Right now, the organization is still alive. We consult for a lot of international NGOs, including ActionAid, Celotech, whenever they are going into the Arab world to start new initiatives. Now, after launching the Arab Institute for Youth Policymaking, and that's pretty much like the green logo, I decided to go into something more business-related, going out from NGOs. And that's where I started studying of marketing strategies. That was my first year in college. And the story of how it started, I was sitting with my roommate, who was from Taiwan, and he was designing logos for student clubs. He was good at what he was doing, but he was doing it for free. He was doing it as a hobby. Now, the greedy person I am, I said, how can we make money out of this, right? Because I knew already, like, people who had like crappy websites, companies in the UAE who had crappy websites, crappy logos, and he could do that great designs for some money, and I could like pocket some of that change. You know, when you are like young students and your family is not that wealthy, you need to find like ways to sustain yourself. So I just got together and I said, listen, we're going to create a website, we're going to call ourselves Student of Marketing Strategies, we're going to brand ourselves as a multinational corporation. Let's like play big. And then we approach clients, you know, as CEO or as executive director and say, you know, listen, we operate across countries, we have clients around the world, and we would love to actually help you build your own websites and logo and brand, branding package. Now, it is all fake it till you make it, a lot of pretending. But I knew that my roommate could deliver. He was good at what he was doing. Long story short, in our first year, we were designing logos and websites for major companies in the UAE, for consultancy companies in Dubai, construction companies in Pakistan. Some of our clients were the Dubai Expo 2020. And that, like faking and pretending, we caught up with it. We caught up to that level that we were portraying. And this is another life advice that I usually give students. Fake it till you make it. Don't be afraid of like appearing bigger than who you are. A lot of people will not take you seriously. When you're a 20-year-old going to a client or a CEO of a multinational company, why would he believe you? Why would he trust you? You're just a young kid. You can't even spell chocolate correctly. How are you going to build my website? But if you pretend, if you have a nice-sounding name, if you have a put on a suit, if you have, you tell them, oh, check out our website, our portfolio, then they're going to take you seriously. And I've been using that philosophy ever since. Now, after a while, what I decided to do is to launch a media company. And the media company story is, again, a life advice that I'd like to give you. I was writing at that time for Elite Daily. And Elite Daily, I don't know if you know it, but it was one of the biggest publications in the United States. Right now, they have 75 million readers. And I wrote for it at the beginning of its incorporation. And I was writing, putting in the effort, and I was doing it for free. I was like, because I felt that the publication was really prestigious. And I realized at that time, why am I spending all this effort to give content to others and they get all the credit for it? No one will remember Mohammed Amin Balarbi, the contributor in Elite Daily. They will remember the founder and co-founder of Elite Daily. So I said, I'm going to spend that effort into building my own magazine. What I did is I emailed my friend in Sweden saying, yo, let's start a magazine. That was at 2 a.m. He replied to me, are you crazy? Do you get some sleep? You want to start a magazine from scratch? What do you know about magazines? Long story short, our publication right now, Golf Lead, draws 35,000 readers a month. We have partnerships with major conferences across the world, including Unleash this summer. And we managed actually to interview and to reach out to people that we would never have otherwise like felt or been able to reach out to. Some of our like people we profiled were hedge fund managers in New York, royalty in Kuwait, the stylist of their kind, the stylist of Jay-Z and Chris Brown. And these are people that I approached with the same mentality. We are a prestigious magazine. We are the force of the Middle East. We are this and this and that. And then we managed to get all these people on board. Always, like, if you're good at something, if you feel that you're contributing to someone else's success and you believe you can do it for your own, why do it for someone else? Why build someone else's dream when you can build your own? That's the question I'm always asking myself. Whenever, for example, the first reaction I have when I see something new is, why can't I do that? I'm driving, like, for example, a car. Why can't I be driving the car that I made? Why can't I be reading the magazine that I launched? Why can't I be seeing the movie that I produced? I know it's a crazy mentality. We feel that it's impossible, but it's always impossible until it is done. When Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook, he could have just stuck to MySpace. He could have used the multiple social networks that were already in place. But he said, no, I'll start my own. And this is what you should always be kind of following or like pushing through. Start your own thing. Because whenever you start your own thing, that's something you can believe in. That's something you can put in the effort, like sleepless nights, to build, to make, to succeed, as opposed to like doing work for someone else. And based on the success of Golf Elite, what we decided to do is launch a sister company called Business Arabi, which is the Arabic version of Golf Elite. Right now, Business Arabi grosses around 25,000 readers a month. Recently, what I've been doing is going into cybersecurity. And again, like a lot of people look at me and say, what do you know about cybersecurity? I know nothing. Yet I run a company and I'm CEO of Online Security Solutions. One of our clients is a billion-dollar company, is the Amazon of the Middle East. Now, how did we get these people? It's all about finding where there is an issue, a problem, a lack of a resource, finding somewhere else where you can find the right people to deliver the right supply, and then connecting both. It's all about connecting markets. You don't have to be good at whatever industry you're in. I met my co-founder at the cybersecurity company in a hackathon. He was good at what he was doing. He was a hacker. He had friends who were hackers. They were listed in the Hall of Fame of Facebook, Microsoft, Google. So if you are this good, how come you're not doing anything with it? How come you're just like sitting in Morocco studying and like doing some cybersecurity job for a couple of $100s? While, for example, in the UAE where I was, there were banks, there were e-commerce platforms that would kill to have these kind of people. I noticed there was an opportunity here, so what I did, the night we met, we launched our website. We launched our branding. The next day, we were already going after clients. So this is the idea I want to transmit. You don't need to be an expert in whatever you're doing. A lot of you will never, or think they will never start a business because they can't code. Because all you hear, like whenever you read Entrepreneur or Forbes magazine or you go on Facebook, most of the entrepreneurs are coders. They built an app, they built a website, they built a social network. You don't need to be a coder. You don't need to be a businessman with 50 years of experience. A young people like me, a 20-year-old guy who knows nothing about cybersecurity can be a cybersecurity CEO. So as long as you have that mindset that I can do it, you can achieve whatever you have in mind. Just think about it, just name it, and you can do it. I also consult for a bunch of organizations, including the government in Abu Dhabi. Now, you can see how my journey went from a young kid who no one trusted, who no one would like even give a small $5 job, to someone who can consult for the government of Abu Dhabi on technology. And this is just to tell you that all these little things that you do in life, they actually aggregate. They come together to build a bigger picture. Starting, for example, a blog for a lot of you would seem as something that's, you know, not worth it. Why would I start a blog? But starting a blog and the next day speaking in a kindergarten and next day talking to this person or going to this networking session, over time, these things start building up until one day you look back and you find yourself at the peak of your success and you think, if I didn't do that little thing at that time, if I didn't start that Facebook group maybe on Facebook, I wouldn't have been where I am today. So always, always get out there and have that mentality of do it. Do it. Either do or die. There is no way the world is going to wait for you to catch up. Governments will do nothing for you. You are entitled to nothing. That's the mentality you should be having. The governments will not pay for your unemployment. The governments will not provide you healthcare. Your parents will not put money in your pocket. You are your own enemy and your own supporter. If you believe that you can do something, you can. If you say to yourself, yeah, I can't do it, obviously you won't be able to do it. Now, for those who managed to read the book, in my chapter, this is kind of what I speak about, selling the branding. Sell me this pen. If you know how to sell, you can apply to any area. We're selling ourselves constantly to our girlfriend, to our spouses. We're selling ourselves to employers. We're selling ourselves to our colleagues. If you want your team to believe in what you're doing, you sell them a vision. You can sell whatever. So why aren't you selling yourselves? Why aren't you selling yourself as the best version that you can be? Why are we just sitting and accepting to live an average life when we can sell ourselves as the best we can be? So this is something or a question I wanted to be thinking about. And never believe that technicalities or knowledge are an impediment in your growth. Now, what I'm working on next, I'm taking a break. Actually, this summer, I'll be going to Nepal to a Buddhist temple where I can just meditate. Why? Because when you're actually working all the time, and this is something that we should all be doing in our lives, sometimes it's good to take a moment to reflect. Are we doing what we're doing because we believe this is what we want to do? Or are we doing what we're doing so that we can post about it on Facebook and have people like our status? We need to know what our values are. what we want to stand for, what we want to do for the next 10, 20, 50 years, instead of just like running deadline after deadline, submitting homework after homework, looking for promotion after promotion. What do we live for? At the same time, we're developing an app, Glammy for the Middle East, is going to be an Uber-style service for beauty service providers. We just raised $50,000 last week. We started building the app with our technology partners, Juggernaut. And at the same time, we're awaiting approval of a patent we're developing for Hydrotech. So again, I'm not an engineer, but I have a patent. And once the patent is approved, we're going to be going into production to make solar panels in the Middle East more efficient, self-clean, and automated. So in conclusion, if I can do it, coming from Morocco, coming from a traditional background, not knowing anything about any technical, not having any technical expertise, then a lot of you guys here have no excuse. Just believe in yourself, unleash the entrepreneur inside you, because we're all entrepreneurs whenever we're young. When you're young and you're growing up, when your parents ask you what you want to be, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a president, I want to be a CEO. And yet we grow up and we forget those ambitions, those dreams. Try to bring those dreams back. It's never too late. Whether you are 12-year-old, whether you're 60-year-old, there's still a chance for you to do whatever you set your mind to do. Thank you.